Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith-McConnachy. Thank you so much for joining me this evening on a day when I typically do not do a show, but this show I specifically scheduled to accommodate a very special guest who will be on the air with us shortly, Ms. Ibianga K. Utak. Who has been a long-time, dear friend of mine, one of my God sisters, and just a spiritual prayer warrior in in my life and the lives of many others. So we're looking forward to having her visiting today as we close out our segment on multicultural diversity in the kingdom of God or in Christianity. So while we're waiting on her to come on the line, I want to, I'm actually going to just begin to address some of the answers that I have. Well, actually, I believe here she is now. So I think we'll be able to jump into her segment.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
My volume a bit. Doing great. Very, very blessed. It's been a long day, as you know. I'm a teacher, and so yeah, it's been one of those days. But God is good, and I certainly anticipate going back tomorrow to see my dear babies. But yeah, so I appreciate you taking the time with your extremely busy schedule to speak with us a little bit about multicultural diversity and, you know, spreading the gospel and being a disciple for the Lord. Ever since I've known you, to over 20 years of this. Wow, 22 years. Woo.
Oh my goodness.
Our whole adult lives. Yes. You have been someone who has embraced, what I believe is, you know, a part of God's, you know, nature and natural environment, the differences we have among each other in that regard, because he allowed the differences to be created. So I guess I want to first start out asking you, you know, as a Christian, what diversity means to you and what does it include? Because nowadays that term is just thrown out there very loosely and you know, diversity obviously includes from a secular standpoint this LGBTQ or whatever and, you know, many other, you know, types of groups and segments and individuals. But, you know, from a Christian perspective, and we realize we do have to deal with, you know, those individuals are a part of our society. But how do you define it, and what does it mean to you?
Well, for me, as a Christian, I think of diversity. I think of ethnic and cultural diversity in the I guess parameters of being a Christian. So really, all of those that are followers of Christ, regardless of their nation or creed, I suppose, would be what I think of as diversity. And not even just those that are followers of Christ, but, you know, we're called to reach out to everyone, especially those that are of the household of faith. Those are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and in order to, you know, grow that community, we have to reach out to everyone, regardless of their background, of their gender, their culture, even their sexual orientation. If we're trying to draw people to Christ, then we have to be open and reaching out to everyone, regardless of how different they may be from us. So as a Christian, I guess I would, like I said, I think of ethnic and cultural diversity first and foremost. those all over the world that are Christians, and as far as drawing more people into that fellowship,
mm-hmm.
I think of all of these people that God created, you know, to pull them in,
right?
Regardless of what they may or may not practice or believe,
right.
Reaching out to them with the love of God. So.
I really concur with the point that you made, because socioeconomic diversity is in there, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, mixed and mingled with those who were considered not, you know, culturally acceptable or other things of that sort, to show the love of God. So I really like your points there. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the socioeconomic. I guess when I think of Christians all over the world, kind of included those people, because not as many countries are as prosperous economically or financially as the United States. So
absolutely,
there are people of God that are in what we would consider here in the States in real dire straits. So to me, that would definitely include all socioeconomic levels. And even people that are very well off financially, they need the love of God as well.
Of course.
It reminds me of a book I read called In His Steps, I believe, and it was there was some character in the book that he was from a wealthy background, and he went back to his young men that were of the same socioeconomic level to reach out to them, because initially some other character was a little surprised that he would go to those people, and he said something to the effect that they need to be reached as well, and who better to reach them than someone that already knows them, who's just like them. So, so yes, rich, poor, young and old, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Indian.
Right.
God is for everyone.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, my next question is twofold, because I have always considered, like, from the, you know, the very first time I met you, I mean, you're kind of like an interpersonal globe. I mean, you will find a way to connect with anybody from anywhere, from any country, any situation. You, because of you know, your personality and the way you vibe with people, I've always admired that, because I can't do that. And I've gotten better over the years, I think, largely from, you know, being so closely connected to you and just praying for, you know, more of, you know, your type of perspective. But I just think you have a natural knack for it that I've never seen in anyone else before. So, how do you model a love and appreciation for diversity and multiculturalism in your own life? I know the answer, but for the benefit of our audience, just kind of share your perspective on how, in your different interactions, I mean, you've had, you know, roommates from various parts of the world, and you've been to law school, you've been all these places and met so many different types of people and formed lasting relationships. With, you know, many of whom, you know, either already were Christian or perhaps not, but, you know, you were still able to form that very deep and special connection. So share with us about how you've been able to do that.
Oh, wow. well, thank you. Thank you, Day. I mean, we all have our different talents. We all have our different gifts. And yeah, I suppose that's something for me that's always, well, I do have to, I do have to admit that my background has kind of helped to foster that. Probably my personality in a sense, but I think growing up with the kind of parents that I've had that have been kind of global citizens and cultural outsiders as well, that's helped to foster a love for people that are different. So whereas most people probably feel a little intimidated by the differences, those kind of, in a sense, excite me and my family. I guess it's part of it is having an interest in other people.
Yeah.
As far as what their background may be, just always there's always been a curiosity there.
Mm-hmm.
Of where people are coming from and what makes them who they are and why that makes them who they are. So I guess that was that's probably the curiosity is so profound that it kind of, in a sense, blinds me to how different they look from me or speak from me or act or behave.
Right. But that's the point I was going to make.
Yes, I want to get to the root of what makes them who they are. Where are they from?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've never been there. Another language. Wow, that's fascinating. Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or how do you say this in that language? Or how do you... It's trying to find a common ground in the difference. Like how close...
Right.
And I get to, how can I meet them in the middle? And it's almost kind of like a game for me.
Yeah.
Instead of being, I guess, intimidated by the fact that I may not understand what they're saying or how they're saying it, or they speak very fast in this language, or they have a background very different from me.
Mm-hmm.
The curiosity. It's like, oh,
yeah. So
you lived like this and you lived here. Okay, well, we both lived in a house. And then, and I don't mind looking, I guess the other thing is I don't mind looking dumb or stupid and trying to learn about someone else. And that kind of breaks down walls for the other people. People find that sort of endearing in a way, that you don't mind making yourself look what someone may think is stupid in order to learn about them. They care that much to know them that you'll trip over yourself in doing it. So.
Yeah. Right. And they really need to come up with, because I've obviously very well versed in the multiple intelligence, being an educator and a counselor, but I just need to create another interpersonal intelligence is a type of intelligence, but I think even more specifically for people like you, multicultural or global intelligence, because, well, that's actually a term, global intelligence, so I guess multicultural intelligence, for someone who is just so tapped into just, again, you said the curiosity and desire to grow in that way. What I think is really so beautiful about what you said, Ivy, is you are trying to get to know people for the essence of who they are. And, yes, it's exciting to learn these things about them and these characteristics about them, but because you're really getting at the root of people and not generalizing, you know, and we're going to talk in a minute about how somebody who is racist or prejudiced or bigoted, how they can begin to let the Holy Spirit work on their heart to break that down in terms of, you know, them seeing people for who people are, the essence of who they are as individuals and as human beings. And I think that is such a key piece as well. Everyone's different. Every Indian is not the same. Every Chinese person is not the same. Every Black person, you know, understanding that piece, and going from there, even though there may be, you know, general cultural things that are shared, but we still need to look at people for being people. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of the challenge with doing that for many people comes from the fact that media, television. I didn't really grow up with television per se or so much. The little that I did have was very regimented. So I couldn't really, it was, I guess my challenge was forming conceptualizations about various people outside of having an actual experience with them. All the maybe so-called biases I've probably formed over the years are fully rooted in experiences. They don't have so much to do with things that I've, any media perceptions or TV, film, news, images like that. I have to take people on a case-by-case basis because I haven't had the luxury of so much media until later in my life, and by then I was already in love with the whole world. So.
Amen. Oh, that is so beautiful to hear. And that is one of the things that I think is so critical, that especially people not as well exposed as you have been, or even, you know, myself, in terms of getting out different places and exploring and traveling and whatnot, they are just taken in by these stereotypes and whatever sensationalism is out there. And it's out there on every group, every racial or ethnic group, and that's what they latch on to, and then it becomes really hard to step out and be open-minded when you've let some media source, what I call basically taint, you know, and contaminate your thoughts. So, you know, I would definitely say that, you know, prayer is obviously, you know, a key piece for those individuals, especially for people who are older and really for a long time have been,
yeah,
you know, maybe molded or groomed into racism or bigotry or whatever you want to call it. It takes a lot to undo that because Satan has told a lot of lies to those people, and you have to be willing to step out into God's glory and the freedom of, you know, really getting to know, you know, so many, I mean, people miss out on so much in life because of their fears. And, you know, you never know, your very best friend in life may be someone from, you know, another culture or another perspective, you know, or, you know, background, or you never know unless you're really willing to step out there. And I know as a Christian, obviously, when you encounter different individuals, you're obviously going to share your faith because your faith is a huge part. You know, it's the integral part of who you are, you know, a Christian woman, a woman of God. So you're automatically, you know, sort of integrating and getting those discipleship opportunities and opportunities to witness because you are a believer. And so you're kind of, you know, living out the Great Commission in a very practical way every day, going to all nations. And I think Ivy is a very audience, you know, she's a very, I guess, very real demonstration of you know, the Great Commission scripture verse. I think it's Matthew 28:10 or is it 12? Matthew 28. What's the verse? I can't remember if it's 10 or 12, but the last verse in Matthew 28. That, you know, you don't have to necessarily go to the nation, you know, go to all of the nations, but if you are open, the nations, quote unquote, will come to you, the people of different nations, and, you know, you'll encounter those people. Now, you are in the greater Atlanta area, metro Atlanta, and so you're kind of getting those opportunities sort of, you know, by virtue of your environment. Now, for those who live in Albany, Georgia, or something like that, and they're listening, they're like, wow, you know, I really want to get out and experience things. They would have to, you know, obviously extend their efforts, you know, a little bit more to encounter some of these other types of people, right, because you're not going to find as much diversity there.
Well, they may not find as much diversity in Albany or smaller towns or even rural areas, but they will find diversity. I have been to some very rural areas, and you will always, if you're someone that's looking for diversity, you can definitely find it. I have met especially Hispanics in the most rural areas, because a lot of them are maybe doing migrant farm worker work, or in the smaller towns, they're into other sorts of businesses as well. You'll always, yes, usually there's at least one or two Korean shops, even in a very small area. I met a Korean woman who she was living in a very rural area, and she had she has a hair shop in that small town, and we just really began talking and about her immigrant experience, how long she'd been here, and I just went in there to get hair products. And but I don't know how we began the conversation. I was curious, like I always am.
Yeah.
And I asked her something about herself, and it was a very interesting encounter, because a lot of times, Asians have had a tendency to be somewhat closed,
aloof. Absolutely.
Other people. And being able to connect with her in that way, it was very funny, because with speaking to her and some other Asians that I had met in certain areas, they'll even admit that, you know, when they're doing your nails or selling you hair products, that sometimes they're talking about you in their language or something like that. So I found that interesting, because I'd always heard that, but it wasn't from Asian people per se, but to get that close to them, to where you could make those sort of jokes,
I found that interesting. Yeah. Because in general, their culture, finding out about their culture and what. Well, we have had an awesome show, and again, I want to, you know, reiterate some of the things that we talked about: being willing, being prayerful. These opportunities are out there. You know, the Lord gave us this diversity, multicultural diversity, and it's part of nature. It's part of the world He created for us. So we as Christians should embrace the opportunities to witness for Him. I want to thank my dear God sister Ivy for being on with us this evening with her extremely busy schedule, and just, you know, providing her insight, her great spiritual insight and wisdom. Thank you so much, Ivy.
Oh, no problem. If I could just leave with an admonition to, I find that many people are not going to that not as many people will reach out if they're different. So it's kind of our responsibility to do so if we want to be able to make that sort of connection that may just reach out to someone of a different background. And then also, too, there's a scripture that says something about Christ is all and Christ is in all. And I can't quite remember where it is. I was trying to find it, but it just reiterates the unity of the body of Christ. I mean, God created all of us, and if he had wanted all of us to be the same, look the same, he would have made Adam and Eve in a way to where everyone would just be one strain of ethnicity or one strain of personality. So, but that's not what happened. So,
And that's Colossians 3:11, the scripture verse you referenced. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So thank you so much for that. And the Great Commission, just so I get that right, so I don't want to leave anybody with any, Matthew 28:16-20. 16 through 20 are the scripture verses for that. So thank you again so much, Ivy, and God bless you, and stay safe.
All right. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.